When Robert Mason's Vietnam memoir, Chicken Hawk, made the bestseller list, Mason toasted his success from a jail cell. That was in 1983, and Mason was serving time for drug smuggling. When Mason got out, he resumed work on a novel he'd started before he was busted. It developed into his new book, Weapon, a thriller about a robot designed to function as the ultimate soldier. Mason's own experiences as a soldier, flying more than 1,000 helicopter combat missions in Vietnam, was the subject of his book, Chicken Hawk. Mason says the title of the book came from feeling like both a chicken and a hawk during combat. I asked him to explain.
Well, it's, I think, fairly common among people who've experienced combat. They've realized there's a chicken part of themselves, even as they're, especially as they're approaching a combat situation. That fear sort of diminishes and evaporates during the heat of the battle, but comes back afterwards. The fact is that what we consider to be courage is simply a matter of overcoming that fear. If you don't feel fear, there's probably something wrong with you. You're pathological in some way.
Was your ability to deal with the fear and was the extent of your fear changed as you were in Vietnam longer and longer?
Yeah, I went through stages where I was afraid, more afraid at first than I was in the middle of my tour. In the middle of my tour, for some reason, I had been through so many hot things that and survived that I kind of felt almost invulnerable in a strange way. I felt very confident about my abilities to fly, number one. I had gotten out of some really tough situations in LZs without getting killed, and I thought that was because of my skill. And it wasn't until nearly the last 3 months of my tour when I started to realize that I might actually live through this and started to get nervous about going on these missions because I was getting close to going home.
Well, you told the doctor after flying 1,000 missions that you didn't want to fly any more combat missions. And he said, if you tell me you're afraid to fly, I'll ground you. But that was the only reason why he'd ground you. You didn't do that. Why not?
I couldn't. It's that trap you get set up in combat. You really can't say you're afraid, I mean, to anyone that's official. I mean, to the rest of my friends, we all talked about periods of time when we were frightened. We'd kid about it usually. It was always in laughter because you don't want people to really know you're afraid. But when it was put on the line, when I was the guy said, tell me you're afraid and I'll ground you, I simply couldn't do it. I simply couldn't admit that I was afraid.
Mm-hmm. Had you kept a journal while you were fighting?
In a way I did. I sent a letter home every day.
And every single day?
Yeah. And so at the end I had something like 750 pages of letters. But there's a story that goes with the letters. I had them, or patients had them packed in a box. They were her letters.
This is your wife?
Yes. And one day we were moving in Gainesville, and I took the box. I was packing. I saw the box. I took it out and threw it in the trash. I said, I don't need this stuff around anymore. And she went out in the street and got it, and she said, these are my letters. And so she brought them back in. And years later, when I finally decided to write Chicken Hawk, I said, by the way, do we still have those letters? And she said, yeah, and said something vulgar to me. So I got the I got the letters out, put them in chronological order, and they helped me put the events that I remembered so clearly into the proper order.
When you were rereading those letters, was it ever almost frightening to see the state of mind that you were in?
Yeah, it was also frightening to see what I wasn't saying.
Uh-huh.
Because I was trying to, not only were letters awkward, they were kind of stupid. They were just kind of they were jocular, you know, things are great over here kind of letters. And I was trying to keep patients from freaking out. And they were that kind of protective thing. And they're really boring reading, actually, when you get right down to it.
So you started to write a memoir about your Vietnam experiences. When it was finished, I think you had very little luck in selling it. You were shopping around the publishers.
Yes.
And you needed money, and you ended up accepting an offer to smuggle marijuana. And you accepted the offer. You got busted for it and ended up spending some time in jail. What exactly were you called on to do?
The offer was, while I was waiting for Chicken Hawk to sell, I was delivering papers at night. And patients and I both were delivering papers with the idea that we could work in the mornings, or days, rather, writing. Of course, that didn't work. But anyway, my car broke down, and a neighbor came over and said, I hear you've had some troubles. I know where I can get you a job paying $30,000 for 2 weeks' work on a sailboat. And, of course, I knew what he meant. And at that time in my life, I discovered that I could be bought. Things were significantly bad enough sufficiently bad enough for me to accept that offer against my my conscience.
Mm-hmm. What was the bust like?
Well, it's a humiliation more than anything. I mean, it was actually the customs people who arrested us were very friendly, and we had a good time talking on a dock. But the thing was that I was handcuffed, sitting on a dock, freezing to death. It was a December morning in South Carolina. And I felt that I was at the lowest possible point in my life. Here I am handcuffed, sitting on a dock, and knowing that terrible things were going to be happening to me and my family. So I felt really, I was very humiliated. It was really stupid. But, I mean, I knew I was guilty. I was on the boat. I mean, I took the appeal route simply for the time they gave me, because right after this unfortunate incident, my agent called me and said he had just sold Chicken Hawk. And the irony there was unbelievable. And it was sold on the basis of the first third, so I had two-thirds of the book to finish.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So during the time I waited for the trial, the conviction, the appeal, that whole period of time, I wrote the two-thirds of Chicken Hawk.
Well, there's another coincidence here, and that is that, you know, after the appeal and all of this, you were imprisoned right after the publication of the book. It's like every time something really good happened, something really bad coincided with it. Were you feeling?
I know, it was, it was freaky.
Were you feeling you couldn't have pleasure without punishment?
Well, I thought I was probably being punished for not paying attention to my conscience. I mean, it's the kind of stuff you get from the the cosmos sometimes. But I made a bunch of dumb moves, and here I was giving a taste of success. But I was on the Today Show, and Brian Gumbel said, "I understand something special is going to be happening to you in a couple of days, Bob." And I said, "That's right, Brian. I'll be going to jail." And it was, then the story became a writer of a successful book is going to jail, and People magazine came to the house just to watch me pack up to go to jail, and met me at jail to watch me unpack in jail, and so forth. And my mom finally got to see me in People magazine, but I was in under the heading Trouble.
You know? Right.
Yeah, so it was. And after I was in jail, it was like everything that was happening outside became unreal. I read about myself in a paper, and a year later when I made the bestseller list with the paperback version of Chicken Hawk, I didn't really think it was me. I worked as a clerk in jail. I made 20 cents an hour. I had a full-time job, and I had a lot of friends there, and it was like a whole different world.
Did you change your life a lot after you got out?
Yeah. For one, the big changes occurred. But while I was in prison, I was making money, more money than I'd ever made in my entire life.
From the bestseller list?
Yeah. So when I got out, I had a lot of money, number one change. And number two, I then had the time to write. I said, I'd like this. I think I'm going to write another book. And I went back to a book I had begun much earlier called, I didn't have a name, it was a book about a robot. And I kept sending this thing up to my agent, Knox Berger, in New York. And he kept saying he didn't like it because he doesn't like robots. He doesn't like science fiction. And he said, I just don't get this, you know. And besides that, this is not up to quality of Chicken Hawk. So I decided to keep writing this until I got Knox to like it, because that's who I wanted to like it. I wanted people who weren't science fiction fans to like this book. So when I finally wrote this version of Weapon, I got a call back, and Knox said, "Mason, I can't believe it. I actually give a damn what happens to this robot. You've done it." So I knew I was on the right track then.
Did you write while you were in prison at all?
No, I couldn't write. As a matter of fact, I wrote rotten letters. I was unable to concentrate. I guess I was feeling the humiliation factor was very high the whole time I was there. I could never seem to shake that. I was also suffering from migraine headaches constantly, probably my body paying me back for being a jerk. And it was actually, I just plain suffered. I didn't like it at all. And I couldn't write. I wrote a letter to patients, and they were horrible.
Do you think you'll be able to use those letters to write about your prison experience?
Possibly. I'm going to write about my prison experience someday, but I'll use the letters to put things in chronological order like I did with Chicken Hawk.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, my pleasure.